Welcome to episode 1008 of Flow Wrestling Radio Live. I'm your host, Christian Piles. It's going to be a fantastic day. I'm joined, as always, by Ben Funky Askren out in Wisconsin. To my right, representing Loper Nation.
Big week.
Big week for them. And Cozumel, Mexico. When JD didn't want to look like a tourist, he went to Mexico for Acapulco, and then he got that shirt or that hat, so people would think he's
been repping this hat.
One of the natives. And then to my left, my arch nemesis. Don't even want him here.
Do you admit I'm your arch nemesis?
And he doesn't want to be here.
That's true.
And yet here he is, Tyler Meissner.
That's why I'm the best man for the job.
That's why, Tyler.
I got something. I got a rough one for you, Tyler, to start the show.
I don't want
to
hear it, Ben.
Let's do it.
I got a rough one. Well, so I did this Mental Monday. You guys can go watch my Mental Monday on the Ask.
He needs Mental Monday through Sunday.
Well, so I do them on Facebook, but I also do them for the groups that we're coaching. And my, I'll make it short. I won't make it a long one this week. But my Mental Monday this week was how many people tell me, like, "Hey, Mitchell's my favorite wrestler to watch." And a big part of that is he just goes out and wrestles as hard as he can, and that's it. There's no shenanigans. He just brings the heat. And so I said, you know, well, that's people's favorite part. Type of wrestler, someone who's really, really aggressive and just goes after it. Now, what is someone's least favorite type of wrestler? And I said, listen, I don't need names. I don't want names.
Oh my gosh.
I want a type of wrestler, like something they do. I have my answer. I'll give you guys my answer, but I want to know what your answers are first. And so I did the high school group on Monday, my youth group yesterday. Tyler, do you want to know what my youth group said?
I don't want to know what they said. Real honestly,
three in a row, three of them in a row said,
"Don't
the
say
Michigan
it."
Michigan wrestlers.
Oh my gosh!
One of them said Cam Amin, and two of them said the Michigan wrestlers because they don't do nothing.
Oh man!
Can you believe that?
You're gonna get a strongly worded DM from Mike Amin real quick.
This really hurt my feelings.
Listen, he can come yell at kids under 14 if he wants to. I didn't say that. So my actual answer
is telling everyone in wrestling.
My
at the top of the show.
You know what? I actually didn't think about Michigan that way, really. But when they said it, I thought about it. I'm like, okay. I guess I see their point. But I actually, I like Michigan. I got no problem with them. So my answer was someone who has a tremendous amount of skill and ability, but yet refuses to take any chances and use said skill and ability. And then we went into fear and all that stuff. That was kind of the Mental Monday. But I just found it to be totally hilarious that I said, give me a type of wrestler, right? And I wanted like a description of
defensive,
what they would do.
Cautious.
Yeah. Yes. And they were like, Michigan guys.
Dang.
Here's the thing about people like Will, though. He wins. He's a Big Ten finalist. I at least respect it.
I mean, if you wanted me to argue from a coaching perspective, I would find it very hard to argue that, because Will LeJuan has shown to have, I mean, honestly, he's kind of the descriptor, right? He has shown at times to have tremendous skill and ability, yet refuses to use said skill and ability for a majority of the match, right? He chooses at points and times to use it. And so I really think if a coach were able to get him over that mental hurdle, and I'm sure Sean Burnett has tried to get him over that mental hurdle, it could be hard to be argued if Will LeJuan wrestled with a little more aggression that he would not have more success. I really find that hard to argue.
We're talking about a guy who pinned Michael Blockus in a headlock.
He ripped a headlock, baby.
Okay, guys, that was an exception, not a rule. Like that, we can actually read the resume.
He was actually really active in his final with Levi.
Yeah,
in my opinion.
He did get Levi called for stalling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was 1-1. Right, it went to overtime, Tyler.
Yeah, but he was active.
Moderate. I mean, active for Will LeJuan.
Yeah, well, he was active.
All right, let's move off. All right.
Anyway,
made your point
again, Christian. Not my words. Those weren't my words. I actually didn't see that one coming. It was just three wrestlers in a row said it, and I found it to be hilarious.
Okay, so NCAA, we have the NCAA field.
Christian,
there's nothing else to say. You've said it. You said it. We've talked about Will LeJuan.
So if I said, Christian, who is your least favorite type of wrestler to watch? What would you say?
Least favorite. I mean, yeah. If you don't attack, if you're trying to win by as little as possible, yeah, no one wants to watch that. If you're totally risk averse, or actually, I hate you don't see it much in college or really even high school. But I hate dirty wrestlers when you know what
they're
doing.
Dirty wrestlers.
I don't like the little chip. I don't like I don't mind tension or aggression or a little bit of heat or a little bit of something, but there's chippy little cheap guys out there. I'm like, you're just needlessly prickish, I could say.
Yeah. You know, you
no, that makes it more fun to watch.
No, but I don't like it.
So mad at him.
But I do because I'm just a fan.
Yeah, you like WWE probably too, but I don't.
How do you? I've watched it with you.
I know. That was horrible. That was a horrible experience. I thought that was terrible.
Which one?
No, just because all your guys lost.
No. No. I don't even remember who won. Who won? Spey?
I don't remember.
Spey cleaned up it. Yeah. What was it? SummerSlam?
It was like Royal Rumble.
Royal Rumble?
Oh, are you guys legit talking about WWE right now?
Yeah. I got roped. Listen, we were coming over to watch Royal Rumble just as a joke. You know, just hanging with the boys at Ollie's place.
Sure, yeah, hanging with boys. Okay,
and then
boys and Christian.
I find out in it, it's a $50 bet on.
What did you think Royal Rumble pool, man?
And you just get a pool. $50.
That's kind of fun.
And it's
I mean,
but
if
it's
we're gonna
totally
watch Royal Rumble, we might as well gamble on
you
it.
You could literally get
exactly
Drew Carey.
That's fun.
Well, if I was gonna gamble on it, I would be able to gamble, not just be assigned a random number.
I don't think you know what gamble.
It's like the lotto.
No, get okay.
It is exactly like the lotto.
All right. Yeah, that's not. Anyways. Let's move on.
Yeah, let's move on.
I'm trying, it's just going
to
be tough.
I mean, for you know, to Tyler's defense, I did have a couple Bo Bartlett answers also.
Yeah. Christian, you said you wanted to talk uninterrupted for a little bit.
Well, I don't know if that's.
I'm sorry. Okay,
that's
I will
unrealistic.
Mute my mic. I will mute my mic.
Yeah, well, it's just called listening. Honestly, you don't need any technological intervention to just.
That's why
listen.
God gave you two ears and one mouth.
Yeah, you might have another mouth somewhere, Ben.
Oh, we got jokes this morning.
Listen.
Do the Ace Ventura.
Here's the thing on the NCAA qualifiers thing. On the one hand, they messed some up. Plain and simple fact. No doubt about it. And I'll get into it. Because there were some guys that were not deserving that got in compared to guys that were just straight up more deserving. And what you have to understand about the qualification process, there are a couple things. One, it's very numbery. It's a lot of data. It's unfortunately not a lot of this guy beat this guy. It's a lot of you spit out their numbers based on their record and things that maybe we wouldn't as wrestling fans and people who I would say have a strong knowledge of the sport would necessarily value. But it values the numbers value what it value and it spits out what it spits out. Now, here's where it gets weird. In that if you look at in the worst example, the worst snub is by far, without question, Dennis Robin of West Virginia. Now you may say, okay, well, you know, and I honestly, I can understand people that say, listen, if you're 33 or 34 or whatever, you know, you can't, why not do it right? It's just kind of like the 14 versus why did we not seed Brody Teske? We knew it was wrong and we just let it be wrong. Okay. So on the one hand, I get it. You kind of get what you get. But on the other hand, if you are comparing resumes and you are a thoughtful person, you can't look at Dennis Robbins' resume.
Somebody was talking to Bracky last night.
Huh? No, I wasn't. I didn't talk to him at all last night. I didn't talk to Kyle Bracky. You can check it. We spoke on the phone prior to the at-larges coming out. And he thought I had them. So I got him all hopeful that I knew who was in. We didn't speak at all last night. But you know who I did talk to? An actual expert, someone whose expertise would be very helpful in the room, John Kozak. And he said to me, hey, Dennis Robbett, this is really bad.
He did.
And
he got snubbed.
And so let's look at it. All right, Dennis Robin, look at his conference tournament. He wrestled in the Big 12, 184. Incredibly difficult conference.
Tough conference.
His losses were to number 8 nationally, Bennett Berge, and number 2 nationally, Dustin Plott. Those were his losses at conference. In his entire NCAA season, he lost to, I have it down here, number 7, number 8, number 2, number 1, number 13, number 21, number 14, Azeroff. Okay, those are his losses. He lost to only guys in the top 21. 4 of them are in the top 10. Okay, Caleb Hopkins, which you got to, I'll say the name. He lost to 4 non-qualifiers, including Dennis Robbins' backup, Bush, and he lost to Dennis Robin himself. This man did not qualify. He was majored by Dennis Rodman. He did not qualify out of the SoCon, which I don't have to even elaborate. And SoCon took three at 184. And Dennis Rodman loses to number 8, Bennett Berge, and number 2, Dustin Plot at his conference. Tournament's done because he lost his 2, and he doesn't get in. And so, and what this misses, and what the numbers miss, and it's something that me and Willie have been talking about since the first time. It was 2015 NCAAs, and the seeds were all messed up. And Coach Borelli came on and was very helpful, and he informed us that losses do not matter in terms of you could lose to multiple non-qualifiers. You could lose to – so I just listed you, Dennis Rodman. He only lost to basically the elite of the elite. And Caleb Hopkins can go and lose to multiple non-qualifiers, multiple unranked guys, and it doesn't matter. And they also threw out the head-to-head, which was also bad. So there's not – the right numbers are not being fed into the machine, and they're spitting out the wrong guys sometimes. And then you have a room that has one wrestling coach in it and a bunch of administrators. And you say, okay, why is there one wrestling coach in there? There should be more, right? There should be more. And all these coaches that want to go on Twitter and complain and cry, none of them tried to get on this committee. There was a total lack of interest. And there's normally more coaches on this committee. And Damian Hahn is on the committee, and he's the only coach on there. Why are there not more? Did the committee not want more? No, it wasn't that. Lack of interest. So, you know, kind of like the Gandhi thing, you know, be the change, a little corny, but it's hard to sit back and complain and cry on Twitter when what are you doing to get be a part of the solution, part of the problem? And what are you doing to say, we've had this same system that says losses don't matter and who you lose to doesn't matter. Well, then that's what you get what you get with that. So it's not a perfect system. There are subtle tweaks. You need more experts in the room, less bureaucrats. That just, and not to demean, but you need people that know ball. You need people that know what they're looking at, because these people don't know, but all the dynamics, they're not living it. Damian's living it, but you know, who else is? And he's one voice in there. So I think that was bad. I do think Bubba Wilson also got snubbed. He should have been in there over Sima. Head to head, Bubba Wilson had the head to head. His losses were, you know, he didn't have a loss to a non-qualifier. I really value that. As a ranker, as someone who used to do rankings, a bad loss should hurt you just as much as a good win in a ranking. That's just obvious. No one would – there is no argument against that. They just created the system this way, and it's just been accepted. It could be changed. It's not changed. They got most of it right. 133 was really tough. But when it's bad, it sticks out, and those two were bad. And so while there's complaining on Twitter, I understand that. Also, on other time, it's like, man, you could be part of the change. So that's all I wanted to say about that. And I appreciate the floor on this show.
I mean, I looked at Dennis Rodman's record.
Dennis Rodman.
Yep. I mean, the guy's an NBA champion, and no one even – I didn't even bring up the fact that he was on the Bulls.
He does not have a lot of good wins, Christian.
No, he does not. And please locate Caleb Hopkins' great wins. And also he lost.
Caleb Hopkins was his first win of the season. Besides that, on as far as wrestle status concerned, I think his next best win is in the 50s somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, obviously that hurt him. Caleb Hopkins actually has a win over Ben Pasiuk from West Point, who is ranked number 12 on wrestle stat. Did I say the name right or no?
It's actually pronounced Pazook.
Pazook.
I think okay. Ben's right.
What a name.
I'm going to say Ben's right. I don't ignore the okay. I won't.
Because it's like Pazooka, a la Bazooka. He wrestles for Army.
Okay.
So you remember that?
That is a good way to remember.
And Jaquan Anderson, 52, and Tomas Booker, 61, who, now those rankings are not very high, but unfortunately they are in fact higher than Dennis.
Well, he lost to those, and he also lost those guys at conference.
He did. Correct. But, well, you said when you look at the wins of Dennis Rodman, he's got Ethan Duca, number 74, and it's like Halverson, 77.
Yeah. Dennis was hurt in the win department. Okay, fair. Yes. All right, so here's how I look at it. Dennis was hurt in the win department. Caleb.
Ooh, I did find one good one. Caleb Cam Pine, 48.
Caleb should be hurt in the loss department. Okay. So you could say those are a wash. All right. I'll, even though I wouldn't, you can. Okay. Let's go down to head to head.
Sure.
He majored him. This guy's losing to backups. This guy's losing to non-qualifiers, non-ranked. It SoCon gets three. This is not some, I mean, I'm all for SoCon getting three when there's three. But I don't think that it merits it in this situation. And yeah, I'm a ride for my boy too. I'm a ride for my boy also.
Christian Piles.
Yeah.
All right.
We've talked about this a little bit before, but Chad Booth in our YouTube chat said, idea for seeding in better wrestling. A thought for seeding and way to prevent ducking. The seeds at conference and NCAA tournament should use teams' wins and losses at a weight.
No, dumb.
No.
You know what wrestlers can do? And I've advocated this to a few of my own AWA wrestlers. Why are you laughing? Because Chad said a dumb thing.
Because I read it and you guys are like, nope, stupid. Moving on.
I'm like crazy. Yeah. You're like, moving so stupid. On. Next topic.
But honestly, guys, what you know, the way we would really solve for this, and I think wrestlers can solve for themselves, is advocate to get themselves more matches. Like this thing where they're wrestling, say, 20 to 25 total matches prior. I mean, I think Robin was 16-9, including conference, right? Is go wrestle more people. Like, that's simple enough to me. Like, go find places where you're going to wrestle good people. And especially, like, if you're in a battle for a starting spot, like, say, hey, coach, listen, I'm going here. You know why? Because I want to ensure my spot on this team by getting good wins, because that's what matters. Because when someone looks at a resume for an auto qualifier spot or a wild card, they're going to look at, who did I beat? And so, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go beat some people.
Yeah.
And that's it. And so, like, athletes need to advocate for themselves, and they need to understand the process. And if they're sitting out matches or they're not wrestling a lot of them, they got to realize, like, this is part of what could happen.
Yeah. And there's – you know, everyone, I think, gets a little rash when you see this, and it's not great, and it's not that bad, but it's not great. But like the idea that it should all come down to conference, that's the craziest thoughts of all, because then you're literally saying regular season does not matter at all at that point.
At all, yeah.
Then you've got,
for seeding, it would matter.
It would matter for it wouldn't matter for seeding if you're not in the tournament, because you're just not seeded. Yeah. So it would matter for that, but. Yeah, I think you have to have the ability to have a great season in a terrible conference and still get in the tournament. Now, punishment, yes. Should you be whatever? You should be hitting the seeds severely. But you do not want the NCAA field to exclude the guys that had a great season in a bad conference. It would just – it would not be good.
Yeah. Yeah, and the people who want regional things, like, I understand that could be potentially more fair because, you know, it's the top eight, but it's really not going to be more fair because there's no way you're going to get, right? This is a team component, so it's not like you're going to separate the top 32 equally to all the regionals. There's obviously going to be regional that's going to be great at one weight and terrible at another weight, so that's kind of meh.
That also completely decimates the importance of the regular season.
That also, yes.
Why?
Because it doesn't matter what you did at all. You can go in 0-0 as long as you finish in the top eight, you qualify.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, oh, yeah.
Or top that's whatever.
That's where the Carter thing is so interesting, because it's like, well, you say you want to punish him, but if he's not the number one, right? The number one would wrestle the 8 and the 16. We'll say the number 4 would wrestle the 5, the 12. 12, 13, they'd wrestle the 13 and then the 5 or 12, right? Whoever wins there. So obviously the 5 and then the 12 or 13 have done more than the 8 and the 16, right? They're better. They're ranked higher. So now are they going to get punished by wrestling Carter Staraki when he's clearly the number one? But then you have the other thing. It's like, well, if he's not all the way healthy,
it could be incredible.
You know, maybe he injury defaults out for all we know, and then they get a forfeit, right? So it's like, that is, I find that to be so difficult, and I can see the argument going both ways on where you should put him.
Carter also now officially has 2 losses on his record, which you have to count for the seeding purposes. Well, the Matrix counts it, and you have to count it. The committee has to count it as well. So he's not clearly the number one.
Yeah. And I agree that those should be losses. And, you know, there's the context around it, what it means, but for seeding and whatnot, it should matter. Mark Manning had he took to Twitter and he had like a four tweet string, which basically, I don't know if we have it or
can, not yet.
Okay. Doesn't really matter.
He basically said, Kale and Penn State staff lied about the status of Nick Sirianni in 2017 or 18.
That was 17. Well, basically, I think his general point is for conferences was, I think what they wanted to do was put Carter at the 14 for conferences under the assumption he was forfeiting out. And so they're like, hey, is he going to wrestle? And they're like, we don't know. We're going to evaluate. And so his idea would be that everyone slides up. Carter goes in 14, injury default, which I don't know. Maybe.
I don't hate it.
I don't hate that idea. But at the same time, if you look at that, how that would have played out for Bubba, he still loses to Jackson. Like Jackson Turley would slide up, and he lost to him at the tournament because the 6 would go to the 5. That's who he hit because he lost to Rocco Welsh and someone else. So it wouldn't have really – I don't think it would have had a huge impact on Bubba's thing. But I think there is – maybe you can do that, but I don't know. They have the right to carry it how they want to, into it. So I don't think that's a big deal, but Mark Manning, obviously not pleased about the,
I mean, and selected. I guess you would say because they earn the ability to do whatever they want, by getting the seed that they can do whatever they want. But the next thing I think it wasn't good, right? It was, they did not tell the truth. They said he was going to wrestle. They put him at the 3 seed the two. You know, so then it's like, well, now you get the 15 or whomever making the quarters kind of easy, and you kind of mess up the whole bracket. And someone who's significantly more deserving probably is not going to get there.
Yeah. Messed up pitch that year?
Messed up pitch, which I think was the point.
Oklahoma State was in a team race that year.
Yeah, I mean, Oklahoma State was fire that year. They had 8 All-Americans, they had a national champion. They were really good. And that was the year, I mean, then Penn State won 5 in a row, 49 through 84, which is insane.
Another idea Kozak just sent me is Manning might just want clarity on whether Strach is going to wrestle at NCAAs, because if not, Bubba might wrestle.
Oh, that's really interesting. That's a great point. So let's get to Carter right now, because – you know, it was sort of unclear, I think, to some, based on the tweet he had sent over the weekend. I never legitimately thought it was an option that Carter wasn't going to wrestle at NCAAs at NCAAs. But he tweeted, Big Ten title is cool, NCAA title is cooler, next chapter, Kansas City. So that's some clarity there.
What if he just messed with your emotions?
My emotions have not been messed with at all. I've just thought he's going to – I was dubious of him ever wrestling at conferences, and up until I saw the tweets the day before, and I never really thought he was done for NCAAs. I just think that just doesn't seem like him at all.
Yeah. No, I would be shocked.
Shocked not to see him try. So seems like he is based on this tweet, he's planning to wrestle and pursue his 4th NCAA title. Where he is seated is going to be a topic of intense discussion when those come out today. The brackets are coming out today. They're still.
And it's weird because, like, do you feel, I mean, with what I said, do you feel like there is actually a proper place for him, or at this point, there just is no proper place?
Well, an idea I would have is how can you insulate the top 3 seeds or top 2 seeds?
Put him at 8. What if we put him at the 8?
Well, that would not insulate so that he hits the 1 seed in the quarter.
Damn,
put him at
that.
The 12.
Darn it.
Put him at the 12, and then he goes through 5 and 4, but he wouldn't hit a top 3 seed until a semi.
Ooh, okay, let's do that.
I think you just have to treat him. Look at his record with those losses. Where would you slide anybody else? Take the injury out of it.
That's probably the best way to do it.
And put in wherever the matrix spits them out. That's where you got to go.
Yeah. I mean, that's. Yeah. So I think there's a couple of schools of thought. You could say, all right, the matrix is going to spit out what it spits out. And there is only so much discussion for, I think it's called like your quadrant or whatever. So like you're in this group, okay? And within this group, you can debate that order, but that next tier up, you can't go into it, right? So if it spits out that he can go as high as 7, then you can't talk about him going into 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, right? Even though you can say he's a 3-time national, doesn't matter.
What are the quadrants? Every 6 or every 5?
No,
five or
no,
four?
It's not. It's not an everything. It's like there's a. I think it's like a point threshold of differential.
Oh, got it.
I think
makes sense.
So, for that now in that 7 through whatever or 6 through whatever, you can debate that however you want. So you could say, all right, within this quadrant, we should just put him as high as possible, right? That would kind of make sense. We kind of know he's probably this guy. He's a 3-time national champ. We should probably have him as high as possible. Or you could get into sort of bracket manipulation, seed protection for the top three guys. You could do that. I think that'd be a little, it could be a little weird. It would be, maybe be more of like my ideal scenario, but it may not be the most fair or equitable or whatever. But it's going to be a thing. I'll tell you that. So those are coming out today. All right, we talked on.
You want to talk about Carter's new tweet?
We just did.
Oh, you just did.
Are you literally?
Dude, I have to do a lot over here.
It could be a new one. It could be another new one.
Can you tweet again? Do we have another chapter? Are we at chapter 3 yet?
Never mind.
Carter tweet checker.
Well, isn't Kansas City chapter 3?
I don't know.
It's
a chapter book.
Never mind.
I don't read a lot of chapter books. My son always makes fun of me. Should we redo the show for Tyler real quick?
Just guys, I'm trying to send stuff to the producers. Well, I'm trying to monitor the chat.
Little Rock was really upset. Now I'm looking through the best wrestlers now. Little Rock was really upset about Tyler Brennan at 174.
Yeah.
Give me the case for him.
He is tough. I don't have the case. I looked at it this morning, and it didn't. Yeah, I don't have anything written down.
Okay, fair enough. I thought you knew every wrestler in Division I's match history by memory.
Far from it. My memory is – there was a time – well, I would never be able to make that claim, but my memory used to be much better.
Bubba Wilson is the highest-ranked guy that didn't make it at 18.
Yeah, Bubba was probably a little high. I think Kozak even – because as Ben pointed out, he didn't have the wins. But that's the thing. He started kind of where he was – and he really kind of only lost to good guys. So it was hard to like say, no, you're outside the top 33.
Yeah.
But I think to Ben's point, and I don't know if I even like commented on it, but these guys, the wrestlers, especially if you know Bubba, maybe you don't know, but you know your guys that are going to be kind of in battles to qualify spots. They should be in hit. You can go all these opens in the first semester. Yeah. You get a bunch of matches. There's a lot of things you can do to get. It's like you don't have to go to Vegas. And you should. Yeah. I think that'd be great. But you don't just have to. You can't just rely on duels, right? Because one, you can only control. There's so much out of your control. One, is he going to be healthy for this given duel? Two, you don't know who they're going to put out
there.
You have no idea. You could be getting their backup and it doesn't count at all for you. And then you can lose to a backup and it doesn't even matter sometimes, like at 184. So I think you got to get more matches. That is the long short of it. So maybe this does bring about a change in scheduling approach for some teams. I think for Penn State, Penn State and Iowa do have pretty limited schedules, I would say.
Well, if you got a bunch of number ones, you don't worry about it all that much.
It doesn't matter for them.
You got some 20 to 40 ranked guys, then that's kind of going to be a big deal.
Yeah. So really it's your team dynamics that should dictate your schedule.
And I think you could also, to your point, send 4 or 5 guys and say, hey, why don't you guys go here? Because, you guys are on the bubble. Let's go get you some more wins.
Yeah. 2 plugs coming real quick. Number one plug tonight, 8 Eastern, 7 Central. Bracket reveal show here on Flow Wrestling. You can watch live on Flow Sports app, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, maybe? Even Twitter. We're in negotiations with Twitter right now. Mm-hmm. So you can watch, interact with us. We're going to find out together these brackets. It's going to be a lot of fun. We want to hear your questions. That's one plug. Second plug, Spencer and Austin WrestleTown USA film dropped today. It's out. You can watch it. It was debuted on the Big Ten Network Monday. Hope you watch it. If you didn't, you can watch it on Flow right now. Here is a little trailer for it. Go ahead, Josh. Ooh, thank you.
Trailer.
I would describe Austin DeSanto as someone who you would want to go to war with you.
Spencer Lee.
He was the total package and still is just the best of the best.
Spencer Lee was unbelievably instrumental in recruiting Austin DeSanto.
It's like, why not have him come train with me?
We never settle, pedal to metal.
Wrestling for over 2 years with a torn ACL.
It's just a tough situation I was put in. That frustration of that mix and the passion to win is sometimes implodes on me.
College season's long, tough competition. Everyone's trained just to beat you every year.
You said that you were coming to Iowa because you know that we'll push you to the places that nobody else will push you to.
There's a reason why Iowa City is WrestleTown USA. That's because that stuff isn't scripted.
We here now. Get on my level. Get on my level. Get on my level. Get on my level. Get on my level.
And that song, that is actually Tyler Meisinger's rap group mm-hmm. that he does.
Whoa.
Get on my level.
Get on my level.
I actually think that was my idea. I think I said maybe 4 years ago to you, Christian, I was like, how interesting would it be to see how these guys are like hanging out playing Pokemon cards at their house or something?
Yeah. Yeah. No, this has been in the works for a while. I've been pitching this to the various parties internally and externally to try to get this, and then we did it, and, you know, I didn't have anything really to do with the actual making of it.
Thank God.
You know what? The whole thing was my idea.
It was your idea.
Like, it was Ben's idea.
Oh, yeah.
You were the first person to think it would be great to see a documentary about Spencer.
I had to give an impassioned pitch internally and externally to get the buy-in here. But no, that was pretty much it.
Is 32 wrestlers too much for the national tournament?
By one.
I want 32. I want 32.
Dude, that's so crazy of you to say. You're talking to a 33 seed.
Oh, my gosh.
Good. Kick him out.
Listen, except, yeah. Oh, that would be even better. Man, I didn't even think about the added benefit of
that's
you being
so
a zero-time
insane.
Qualifier.
I don't think even 32 is just a lot.
I'd be
fine with, like, 24.
Can I break this down to you, JD? Because I actually thought about this the other day. So while it may seem like a lot, I know because your point would be that there's only 80 Division I teams. There are roughly 300,000 high school level wrestlers. And so if you think about it, if 300, just for easy math, 300 make it. So it
Sparta.
Is 1% of 300,000 would be 3,000. So we're talking the best 0.1% of wrestlers. Like, I don't know. I kind of feel all right with that.
Yeah, that's a really great way to. I have never thought about that, Ben. I've only thought about 33 out of 80. That's like such a high percentage. But I wonder what it is for like basketball or. Yeah.
It's different.
I do know if you look at like the amount of wrestlers in college compared to high school participation, I believe it is the lowest.
Yeah. That's crazy. I'm actually, it's okay. 24, then you got kind of, it's like uneven-ish or whatever. Yes. I don't know. It's not a full, a lot of
You don't want to go all the way to 16. That's tiny.
That's really small. It's fine. I just don't like the pigtail round unless Tyler's wrestling.
I agree. Let's get rid of 33.
Yeah.
I would go on that for sure.
Yeah. I don't even understand how we got there with that many.
It is kind of, super random.
So random.
So random.
There is some reason. Someone explains it to me every, couple of years it's so inconsequential, I just forget it every time.
But yeah, they talk for like 5 minutes, and then you leave, and you're like,
what?
What is that still
word?
Dumb.
What is 32. That word salad? Okay. All right, Tyler, lead us into the next
You guys
want
to talk about projected team scores according to our rankings?
Certainly, yeah, I would love that.
I think, Josh, you have those.
I mean, we should really do it according to the seeds of the tournament, but we don't have those yet.
Unfortunately,
we should really do it based on the results of the NCAA tournament.
Shut up, Christian. You're being a smart aleck this morning.
That was
go tase him, Tyler.
That was a good one.
Oh, I don't know where that went.
It's back in
the
Kozak household.
Okay.
Yeah.
We don't have the seeds, unfortunately, so we're going to have to go by our rankings.
Oh, my gosh. What's the biggest? Is that 58?
So
59.5.
59.5 is second.
What?
With Penn, so Penn State has project, according to our rankings, is projected 146 points in first place. In second place, you have Iowa with 59.5 points. So Penn State,
there's never been anything like this. This has literally never happened.
Never.
It's pretty nuts. Like, Penn State's not probably, I mean, we've talked about how difficult it's going to be to challenge for the team point record that Iowa had. But one thing to wonder is this going to be the biggest disparity between first and second place? I don't know what the disparity was when Iowa won it that year.
Man, we'll have to go back. I don't have
that. I bet Jason Bryant would know the answer to that.
My head. But Kyle Klingman does too.
Because they almost triple Iowa's projected team score in our rankings.
Well, that's a little exaggerated. 2.5. We'll go 2.5 closer. But
the race is for second because we have a tie for second at 59.5 points between Iowa and NC State. And then just half a point behind them at fourth is Iowa State.
Unreal.
A point and a half behind them is Cornell at fifth with 57.5. Point and a half behind them is Lehigh at six.
And this is what we said all year long. Like, Oklahoma State was number two for a while. They're eight now. And it's like, all right, well, they still get top two or three. And then similarly, Michigan had a good tournament, and then they just kind of took the last session off, and it crushed their rankings. They literally
promised me you wouldn't bring that up.
They lost. I didn't.
Wait, they really? They did that bad?
Okay. Stop. D'Agostino lost his placement match. Ragusan lost his placement match.
We're going to go through all of them?
Limley. Yeah. Gomez, Luan, Cam.
They all did except for Davison.
Everyone but Davison. And Davison lost to Feldman. Bro, that's brutal.
I did not realize that.
Yeah. They had a great – I tweeted about how great they did. They had a really strong tournament, and then
– yeah.
But
I was actually thinking when I saw Michigan in the rankings right there that Michigan's too low. They should surely finish higher than that.
And my point I was going to make is, like, I think they probably – wouldn't surprise me at all. Like, D'Agostino is in all these crazy matches, but they're all so close he can win them. I mean,
what surprised me the most looking at that? Sorry.
You're good. Yeah, you're good.
What surprised me the most was seeing Nebraska down at 11. They're not even in.
What?
They're not in our top 10 right now.
Huh.
Let's see. How low did Pinto? Oh, you got to drop Pinto to six. Well, that's kind of fair. That kind of feels like where he should be.
You know, Smith had a rough one. He got eighth.
Hardy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You guys dropped Hardy down to eight also.
And with those guys, so what you need to look at for them is, like, all right, Pinto's six. That's fair. Could he be second or third? Yes. Caleb Smith, where is he now? He's probably really far. But we all know
Rob's at 12 now.
Rob's at 12. That kills. So they've got a lot of guys.
Caleb Smith at 13. So brutal.
There's so many. They have All-American caliber guys that are outside of the round of 12 or in the round of 12. But we know that can – it turns on a dime every week. Everything, it changes. Yeah. So it could – completely reverse.
You know what's crazy, because of your rankings, if you could put those team rankings back up, I'll just go to them on my computer. But Iowa's in second place, but Michigan is in seventh and Nebraska's in 11th, and they both beat Iowa at conferences.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's weird.
Yeah, it is weird.
Why is that? I would have to.
It's just the individual matchups and rankings, and it's like, yeah.
Because I guess Ayala and Woods are they're second and third, and that's kind of where they finished at conferences. So
Drake's still second.
He got third at Big Tens.
You guys have Drake at second.
What
still,
about Stanish?
He's third.
Third. Hmm. Yeah. So you guys still have. So you have Braden one. I mean, it's very Big Ten heavy. You have Braden one, Ayala two, Ramos four, McKee five, Barnett six. So you guys kind of like kept Big Ten super heavy at 125, and then, you know, it's kind of all other conferences below that.
Interesting. Yeah.
Dean Peterson's still at 14, which is interesting.
Yeah, considering he beat Ramos, but yeah, he has not had an amazing year, but I think he beat McKee also this year.
I can say that about pretty much everybody at 125. Not that he beat McKee, but that, he beat these two guys up here.
Yeah.
So if you got to put your shekels in a team basket for taking second, where are you leaning?
Shekels. I don't know. I'm surprised NC State's not a little further. I think they have a great combination of, you feel comfortable they're going to score high in a couple weights, and then they've got.
Who's their other guarantee besides Trent?
Arrington's probably guaranteed like top four.
149 just doesn't have a ton of strength.
I wouldn't say guaranteed.
Yeah, probably not guaranteed.
He's guaranteed top eight. But top four is tough to do.
Yeah, you might be right. Very few have a lot of high. I mean, listen, Camacho's for whatever. You know, I was so high on him, and then what? I don't know what happened, but now he seems to be back. He's had a really good last month.
Can't call him a lock for anything.
No, I'm not. I'm not. I'm saying he was total non-factor, non-starter, and now it's like he could get top six. Wouldn't surprise me. I don't know where he's ranked right now, but I wouldn't really even care.
He's nine right now.
Nine. So him, Orini has been a rock this year.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Orini, he's probably their second.
Orini's probably going to get the three.
You guys have him at six on your rankings.
Wow. I think he's going to get a higher seed.
Where's Nasir Bailey going to get seeded is interesting to me. He's got one loss.
You guys have him at seven, but he's getting way higher.
Yeah.
I think he'll be the five.
He only has one loss, correct?
Vito.
Yeah.
So he might get, you know, whatever Vito gets, he's probably just going to be one behind him, if I had to guess.
I think Vito's going to get the 4 or 5.
Really?
Oh, he's two losses.
Because Vito didn't have...
Vito and Dom Serrano.
Oh, okay, that could hurt. That could hurt. He avenged that, though. Nasir's good, though. So, yeah, I mean, but NC State, you know, I don't feel super strong that Kai is going to be a top four guy or Ryan Jack, but he could. Or Jackson Arrington, but he could. Ed Scott, such a good weight, but he seems to be wrestling pretty well right now.
Lehigh with Stannis Crookham Beard.
That's an interesting one because, like, is that 55 points right there? But the thing is, where else are they getting points? Nathan Taylor is actually really tough, heavyweight. And heavyweight's
he's
not
tough, but he's. I don't know if he's going to All-American.
Well, I don't either.
I feel like he's gonna be blood round.
Yeah, he'll certainly be. I think he'll be wrestling in the blood round. Can he win?
You guys have him at six now, but you have him at six. That's above Feldman, Davison, Gadiali. How do you say his name? Yeah. Heinzelman, Doucette. You know, those are all really tough guys that you wouldn't be super shocked at beating him.
Yeah. Like, conversely, like Iowa's, who are you feeling great about after Big Tens?
I feel like Woods is going to be a high finisher.
Top four.
They have a lot of All-American type locks.
Yes. I think he'll be four. I think Franek will be All-American. I think Caliendo, I think he's probably, I don't want to say guaranteed top eight, but it's going to be like probably a 6 through 8. Mm-hmm. Franek, I kind of feel similarly about. Drake, I feel similarly about.
Kennedy.
And
Kennedy's wrestling
Kennedy.
Really well.
Kennedy did not have a good Big Tens because he lost to who else on the backside?
I mean, he only lost to Welsh, who's a beast. He lost to Welsh and...
no, someone else.
He lost to Welsh and Griffith. I'm pretty sure that's it.
Oh, Welsh and Griffith. Okay. I mean, yeah, so I could see him being a 6 through 8 also for sure.
Yeah.
Iowa.
We didn't talk about Glazer. Yeah.
Maybe Iowa.
Last year when I was at NCAA's, Andy Hamilton, Iowa resident, Iowa expert, looked at me and said, Iowa has not, it was while Real Woods was wrestling in the finals. He said, Iowa has had a finalist at NCAA's for the, I don't remember how many years it was, but it was like,
Tom Brand's
it was
freshman
it's
year.
Crazy number.
Yeah. So could this be the first year that they don't have a finalist?
Absolutely.
It absolutely could be.
Yes.
It might be the year they're most at risk of that.
Yeah, I mean, because
they didn't have a finalist, or they had won at Big Tens.
Mm-hmm. To keep the streak alive, 1960 something was the last time they didn't have a Big Ten finalist in Glazer. Save the day.
Yeah. Wow. In overtime.
If I got to put my struggle somewhere on team number two, I think I'm going to Iowa.
Yeah, you might should. They just have a lot of, they'd have a lot of bullets. I don't know, man. Yeah.
Do you have a lot of bullets? Iowa State looked good at conferences, so I would say Carr is a top four for sure. Younger, I feel pretty confident saying he's going to be top four. There's two top fours. I think that who's their next best one?
Chittum. But 57 is so tough.
Swiderski.
Swiderski's going to be in a fight to make the podium, but I do think he can definitely do it. Frost is probably another guy who's going to be in the blood round.
He scores a lot of bonus. Mm-hmm. I like how he wrestles. He's tough.
Feldkamp is going to be another guy fighting in the blood round, maybe, potentially. Terakina could sneak on, you know, into
that boy.
Blood round.
He could do it.
Yeah.
He's tough.
Dang.
It's going to be a crazy finish. We could get something. Seriously. It'll be funny if it's just
I think we can all agree it probably goes Penn State, Iowa State, Iowa, you and I.
I disagree. Not Penn State.
To round out the top four.
That's great.
Do you guys think it's a big deal? How big of a deal is it if Iowa State outplaces Iowa at the national tournament to them?
That's
does
a
it,
big deal.
To Iowa State?
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's huge.
Yeah.
When's the last time that happened?
Do you think it matters more to do that or to win the duel?
We've had this discussion.
Man, the duel, there's something about the duel.
Yeah.
If
something about it, because it's so, because it would be one thing if it was like for the title. It's not going to be for the title. It's going to be for like a placement point.
Yes.
Because like,
that's
all right.
True.
You think about NC State Virginia Tech rivalry, right? You guys probably don't even remember that. You remember NC State won ACCs, and you remember they won the duel.
Chris is an expert on this rivalry.
Yeah, I am. I'm an expert on this rivalry. But Virginia Tech outplaced them at NCAAs. But probably, unless you're like super plugged in, you probably don't even realize that because it was like a 10 versus a 9 or 9.
I feel like for recruits, it might matter more.
No. Well, I don't think so. If you're between Virginia Tech and NC State, you're not like, well, they won the duel, but they won NCAA, so I don't.
Their guys peaked better at when it mattered.
But
they also have ACC. I mean, for them, ACCs also.
Yeah.
That's relevant.
Yeah. They won conference six in a row.
What if Iowa finishes fourth, doesn't win a trophy, Iowa State finishes second, wins a trophy? How much does a trophy title?
Well, and Iowa already has, and I'm sure Iowa fans are not happy. Iowa finished fourth at Big Tens. Like for Iowa, that is significantly below standard.
Yeah.
So I'm sure Iowa fans are grumbling about that.
Well, I mean that the standard is the standard at Iowa, and it's unchanging. But you can say, listen, we should have had Tony Cassiope on our team. We should have had Nelson Brands on our team.
But then the other side of that is they just got Frantic and Caliendo. Like, that's the other side of it. And, yes, other teams are doing that also. I totally get it. But if you're going to make an argument, and then, hey, they just picked up Real Woods 2 years ago also. So don't neglect that.
You got to let Iowa fans have this.
Well, no. I mean, yeah, two things can be true at once. Yes, they are getting transfers. But also, they thought they were going to have a heavyweight that would be top four. And
yeah.
Instead, they didn't, and you know that was.
Yeah, but now what? What if they don't pick up Frantic and Caliendo? Then where are they at?
Well, it's worse. But this is the new. This that's their. It's pretty obvious.
It's really only the new for four teams: Christian, Michigan, Penn State, Iowa, and Oklahoma State.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really it.
But that's going to be. I think that's the new.
For picking up transfers?
Yeah.
Like picking up a significant productive amount. I think there'll be a couple here and there, but like think about Penn State got Nagao, Mitchell, Bernie. That's gigantic points.
And Kirkley.
Iowa got Real, Caliendo, Frantic. That's gigantic points. Oklahoma State got
Spratley,
Olesnik. Jameson, Spratley, Olesnik. And Michigan got their whole lineup.
Iowa State got Feldkamp. Iowa State got Feldkamp and Chittum.
Chittum's not really a transfer.
Yeah.
Well, Chittum not really.
He's
kind of
moved.
He's
relocated. Yeah.
Transfer adjacent.
Yeah.
So,
but for these power programs, they're gonna be able to do this. And you look at the recruits Iowa has coming in. It's very obvious they're going to be portal heavy this offseason as well. And I think Michigan will look to use the portal again to fill some of their spots.
Yes.
Speaking of Michigan, there are people in the chat who keep asking me if I know anything about Shane Griffith. I don't. I wish I did. I hope he's doing well. But
if you did, you wouldn't tell us, Tyler.
And if I did, I wouldn't tell you.
Wouldn't. He wouldn't. Tyler's true blue. He it looked bad according to Caleb Piles. I did not see him come off the mat. He's like, that night he's like, he won't wrestle in the finals. There's no way. He couldn't even walk. So I guess it looked bad.
Caleb said
Caleb. He looked really frustrated.
Oh,
yeah.
He had to kind of hobble off the mat.
Yeah, I did not see it.
It was very upsetting.
If you could read lips, he said some obscenities.
Yes. Oh my gosh. We should not stand for that.
I was like excited because he made the finals, and then that happened. I was like, why? I thought he spiked his headgear because I heard that they dinged a team point because he threw his headgear, and I was like thinking maybe he was excited, and then I watched.
It straps down,
oh,
too.
No, he
popped up.
Not happy.
Can't be winning Hodge with that type of behavior.
Happy. He was not happy.
Well, Aura lost to Lorenzo Norman. It could be additionally prohibitive.
No, it's definitely more the sportsmanship criteria.
Yeah, it's all sportsmanship. You know, what do you think about this? If Carter Strachey wins NCAA's hobbled.
No, because he technically has losses on his record.
Okay.
So he will not win Hodge.
It's going to be Brooks, I think. I mean, unless for some, if Trent upsets him, obviously not. But besides that, it's Brooks.
Honestly, you could say the 197, the Hodge will be decided by the winner 197. Because if Trent wins, he is.
His dominance is on pace.
He's insanely dominant this year. Yeah. He has been destroying people. So it could be as simple as that. Whoever wins 197 wins the Hodge.
Trent's at 83% bonus this year.
Yeah. A lot of pins, a lot of techs.
Actually a lot of techs. It's very few pins, actually.
Yeah.
So many of his takedowns are literally just horsing the underhook until the guy just like goes to his belly.
Yeah.
I really like Aaron. I don't have a dog in this fight. My only dog is that I really want to see Trent celebrate.
An NCAA title.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Like, think about that, Raise the Roof. Good think about the point. Punches to the face then.
Yeah.
Kind of need it.
I mean, no chair.
Kind of need it.
No chair is safe.
I mean, the other thing is that the Heidleys, they seem like great guys, and they never got a title yet. They got very close. And I believe it's going to be 8 All-Americans between the two of them. But no titles, so the Heidley getting a title would be really great.
Yeah. No, it's
we've said it on here before. We think that's a match more than a lot of the rest of the country.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's gonna be super competitive. I think Trent, listen. Everyone knows Aaron Brooks is world class. Trent Heidley is world class.
Absolutely.
This is a guy. If you know, alternate universe, and he's our guy at the Olympics, or he's our guy at the Worlds. Like, if something happens to David and Aaron, all, he's coming back with a medal. I feel pretty, I feel confident.
The problem
in that statement.
He is, what? Where should Heidley wrestle? Let's send it to Norway, Denmark. Bro, I'm not even kidding.
Oh man,
he's got some roots.
Where do they love sandwiches the most?
Yes,
well, someplace in
Luxembourg.
Italy?
Luxembourg.
Do you think he would go 86 kilos?
I mean,
he's a big boy now.
He did wrestle at Bill Ferrell 86.
Yeah, he can do it.
I mean, the problem right in America is you have Brooks, you have Taylor, and you have Zahid. Like, but here, I don't know that you could beat any of those guys.
Think about this. David potentially done after the Olympics. Aaron, yep. I think, eventually is a 97-kilo guy. And then it's...
Really?
Yes, 100%.
Wow.
Interesting. I feel confident that that will eventually happen. Maybe.
Okay.
Eventually,
maybe.
It'll eventually maybe happen. I think it will happen. I think it's certainly being considered. And then, you know, it's Zahid, who is awesome. And Zahid versus Trent, maybe that should not be dignified with a thing. I think it's a thing.
What do you mean? It's a thing.
Okay.
What do you mean it shouldn't be dignified? You think, like, one would blaster the other?
Yeah. I think Zahid has, like, killed him a couple times.
I think Zahid would be the favorite.
Yeah.
At 86?
I think for some trial spots... I think this is maybe a little history lesson, but I'm pretty sure one of the junior opens, he just destroyed him.
Yeah.
Junior open? Well, how many years ago is that now, though?
I said history.
That's like 4.
Okay, but since that time, see, he's a senior world medalist now, too. It's not like...
I think he's the favorite. I agree. Okay. I think he's the favorite. Dog.
He's really good.
I don't think it's like next topic. I would want to see it at the very least.
I just need a clause. If NC State, if it's coming down to the wire team race, no team points deducted, please, on the celebration.
Yeah. Yeah.
You guys should, there should not be team points deducted on the celebration. That is dumb.
It's so insane.
I agree.
What? I'm just asking, what other sports have anything close to this?
Don't they do penalties in football?
There's personal fouls and it's yards. You don't get to change the score.
Like people, yeah, people can be ejected, but and like, points don't come off
like
the board.
A penalty, like generally, like if you're a most personal fouls in football are like on the field, harm is done. Your face mask or helmet to helmet. It's not like the match is over and I'm popping top or punching my face.
Is there unsportsmanlike conduct in football? If you
no, there is, you... there is, but that's like okay, they you, yeah.
What is the yeah? What do you do if not take a team point away? What do you, how do you punish?
I don't know, card system, or just like
after also the finals, eject them.
Yeah, who cares? It has no impact on the. you take off your headgear.
I think we should be leaning into celebrations. For sure.
What's wrong with throwing your headgear?
Lean into it.
Don't hit someone with it. Don't yeet it at the ref. But my gosh, if you want to toss your headgear, roll it, spike it. There has never been a cooler thing than when Younger Bastida spiked his headgear so hard it went over his head. That was the craziest thing I've ever seen. I don't know how you do that. Anyway.
Gotta be as strong as Younger Bastida.
Well,
I've only I've only seen it one other time.
When?
The Chatterton State Gym, circa 2016. Corey Van Dorn, Nebraska. Real ones, no.
Okay.
Okay.
With a torn ACL.
Oh. All right.
Man, I do remember one time at the state tournament in Virginia, this kid lost and he got hosed for sure. He got so mad. I mean, I'm sitting way up. I'm like up back. I'm probably literally they're kind of small. This dude got so mad. He threw his headgear all the way into the crowd and my guy right next to me caught his headgear. It was
That's electric.
It was crazy. It almost like boomerang. It was like had like a hook about it. It was unreal.
Had a hook about it.
Yeah, it was crazy how he was not happy. That was not good.
He must have been a disc golfer.
I don't think they have a lot of disc golf courses in Covington, Virginia, but they might. They have a paper factory.
What? You're crazy. You just don't know.
Look up Covington, Virginia.
Colby?
No. Colby would not like this place. Okay. What are we even talking?
We have 30 minutes left.
That was fun.
Do you want to talk more about the team race? Do you want to go into questions?
Questions, yeah. That'd be great.
Possibly an unnecessary – this is Chase White on Twitter. Possibly an unnecessary rule change, but how about automatic choice in the second period for the wrestler that scores the first points in the first period? Only a coin flip if the score is 0-0 going into the second.
Oh, I don't hate it.
I think that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
I think it's a – good way to incentivize because it's totally random how we choose who has choice anyways. A coin flip. Like if you incentivize scoring first, then you can defer or get choice. Maybe see a couple more first period takedowns. I don't know.
No, I looked it up. There's no courses in Covington, but there's quite a few surrounding. Just FYI.
Yeah.
Thank you.
The fans at home are wondering.
I don't think that would change strategy that much for most guys. Maybe a little, though.
So
I don't hate it.
We talked about this a little bit earlier in the show, but Trevor Bunsen on Twitter says, the seeding matrix formula now punishes wrestlers for forfeiting out of tournaments. Many begged for this, but when you have a situation like Carter Storace, when does punishing him too much on seeding actually hurt another wrestler from potentially placing?
It's a zero-sum game, so yeah, there's always an effect of that. But you cannot have people hitting a preserve resume button at the conference tournament and you just get to carry that into NCAAs. There has to be punishment and you can't just say Carter's the number one seed when you don't do your conference tournament. So there's a casualty with that and we want our conference tournaments to matter. And so I think it's fine.
And if you are not healthy enough to compete at your conference, you are not, might not be what you previously have been.
Yeah.
So we don't know where you're at.
Yeah.
And you have to be seated based on that.
There's very little track record for guys that do the gimmick of not wrestling. I'm not talking about Jason Nolf. People bring up Jason Nolf. Jason Nolf won two matches at Big Tens that year. He had like a pin and an attack. He was, and then he forfeited out and got six. There's very few examples of guys that do not wrestle as second that do well at NCAAs. Killian Cardinal.
Remember Dustin Schlater did that?
He did nothing. And I don't even think he wrestled.
Yep. Generally, I tried to wrestle at NCAAs, but it didn't go well.
I think Makai Lewis did it in 2021 at conferences, and I think he did a match, and then he forfeited out. He was too hurt. He forfeited out from the top side. He like won a match, and then I think he forfeited out after that. Killian placed last year, which is one of the, I think, to my knowledge, the first time that's ever happened. So, I don't even know what I was saying other than that.
Can I answer a question that's in the doc?
No. I'm just kidding.
Okay, Jamie Belk, because I have an answer for this. Should they start making mats bigger for college programs to avoid athletes to be on the basketball floor and off the mat while the other athlete is still working for a takedown? The Big 12 mat was so preposterously small, I don't even know what they were doing. Like, this is the Big 12 finals. We can't get a bigger damn mat. Like, holy crap.
Man. People only yell when that's a...
Did you see that mat?
All-star mat. Yeah. Probably the same exact dimensions as the all-star mat that everyone was screaming about.
You know, I actually have a solution for this also, Christian Piles.
Hit it.
It shouldn't be a circle. It should be a square.
Really?
Well, that way everything's equidistant from the edge, right? Because you're wasting so much space by making a circle on a square. We're making a circle inside a square. Mm-hmm. We're wasting an insane amount of dimensions there. I actually did the math on it one time, used my geometry skills. I think it's somewhere around 36% of area that we could have more of if we actually did it the right way.
Or if you just
make 36% more space for wrestling. Who hates that?
Or you could just make the mat square or a circle instead of square.
That's awkward because how do you put circles together, you know?
Yeah.
You can't put circles together.
Yeah, we've tried. Everyone forgets that Ben was a geometry major.
Is that true? I don't think you can major in just geography.
Yeah, no.
Geography.
Geometry.
But listen, it should be squares. Jiu-jitsu actually uses squares. They're actually, unfortunately, mm-hmm. in this instance, they're smarter than us. They're putting a square on a square. It doesn't make sense to put a circle on a square. A circle on a square doesn't matter. Freaking make a square. A square on a square. We have a square mat. Make a square boundary. That way we're all equidistant from the edge, and there's no issue. It's so easy. It's just so stupid. Dolomer, I gave you guys the damn idea for putting mats together without tape many, many years ago. I'm giving you another idea. Make a square on a square. It's so easy.
You came up with the idea for the Velcro mats? That was your idea?
2007, I called Dolomer. My idea was not actually. I said, well, here's the issue, guys. Dolomer. You guys, I like your math, but you guys have seven sections, which means I need to tape six tape lines, right?
Yeah.
A Resolite has three sections, which means I only need two tape lines. And so in order to be competitive, what you need to do is you need to make it wait that I don't need to tape these damn things, okay? And so my idea was actually a row of magnets inside the foam. It's not a bad idea. I need some strong magnets. Put the magnets in there. Boom, they snap together right there, and you're golden, right?
Dang.
So, yes, in the year 2007, I called Dolomer. I said, the problem is you guys have six tape lines. Rosalite has two. You guys need to make less tape lines. This is obvious. And then, sure enough, a few years later, Velcro comes out.
Yeah, you probably didn't realize that Velcro could be that strong and powerful.
It actually sucks. Our Velcro mats suck. I freaking hate them. I actually ordered the most recent mats that we ordered from Dolomer with no Velcro. It's really unfortunate.
Wow. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think with mats where you're putting them down once in a while, like for, say, a dual meet, like your official dual meet mat, I think it's fine. But actually what happens is the space between the mat, you know, where the Velcro is, because of the way they cut it, it's kind of weaker. And a lot of times the Velcro starts popping up and then it gets hit and then it's not good. Unfortunately.
All right. That was equidistant.
Ben claiming responsibility for this invention and then saying, I actually don't like
it. Listen, you can call Dolomer. You can ask him, did I call him in 2007? I remember the phone call. I don't know if they want to say, hey, that never happened. I remember it. I made it. I was driving through St. Louis, actually, on Highway 170. I remember making the phone call. You can say whatever you want.
Is there a way to rectify the fact that Carter takes an at-large bid while the Big Ten still benefits off of his allotment?
Ooh, that's not good. I agree.
Yeah, so the idea there, you could say, if you don't take the mat, because if a guy's not entered, so for example, 184 Big 12, Clayton Whiting earned the allocation, but they swapped it and put Hawks in, who did not earn an allocation. So Big Ten's qualifier got kicked back to the field, whereas Carter enters but goes 0-2, and they Big Ten keeps that one. I think it's sort of tough to go back and say, oh, well, he didn't wrestle, so now they take one away. I think that'd be tough, even though I do think that'd be maybe the right thing to do. Right. I don't know how you do it exactly.
Especially considering...
It's kind of another argument against Bubba Wilson, because Bubba Wilson, you actually had an advantage in qualifying. Because
I said that, yeah.
At your conference tournament, there was X amount of spots, and there was X minus one amount of automatic qualifiers. So you should have had an easier time qualifying, since one of the automatic qualifiers was actually not participating in the tournament.
Yeah. This is why Dennis Rodman was the number one host wrestler. Not Bubba. Without a doubt.
Well, that tweet said, did Tyler Brennan get the biggest hose job?
Give me the resume.
Yeah.
I would have to look it up.
I looked it up. He had a few good wins, but he had a few not good losses also. I will look. I'll give you the answer right now, because we, you know what? Because we love Little Rock and we love Keith Gothard, and so I'll give you the answer. So he lost to Adam Kemp 3-2. Let's see. He lost to Adam Kemp again. He beat Kyle Valencia, which is not a great win. He pinned Benny Baker. That's a solid win. He beat Sergio DeSante from Chattanooga. Solid win. He beat John Worthing from Clarion. Solid win. Beat Tate Piccolo. Yeah, those are probably his best wins.
Hmm.
Beat Dashiell Lamer, actually. Solid win.
Every guy on the bubble is going to have probably a very similar resume.
Yeah.
Correct.
So I would just, well, I mean, never mind. I'm not gonna redo it.
How many current high schoolers could win 125?
Luke.
Well, here's
Jax,
the argument.
Marcus.
I actually just looked at this. Marcus, although he did beat Matt Ramos, he also lost to
Braden Palmer.
Thank you, Braden Palmer. Braden Palmer's number 30 right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you have an argument on both sides. I think there's a possibility. I don't know if I would call it a likelihood.
That's why it's could. How many Huskers could win 125?
Yeah.
I don't know two. If they can string together that many great wins.
Which two?
Jackson Luke. Maybe Marcus, why not?
Forrest, Luke Lilladol.
Yeah, those three.
I'll say they could. Some of y'all, not likely.
Say Marcus Blaze.
Sure, I'll say Marcus.
Or Anthony Knox. Or...
Dang, I forgot about Knox.
Mm.
Think he's probably going to wrestle year one for Cornell? Would seem like it.
Probably.
It doesn't seem like a guy that would want to sit, and he's got to be looking at this 25 field and be like...
He doesn't want to sit, but who knows what might happen when he gets there.
Yeah.
Well,
if he goes to Cornell year one, he is wrestling. So we'll
he
know.
To Finger Lakes.
If he's...
I meant who knows what will happen when he gets on campus.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's like solid four.
Yeah.
You wouldn't be shocked, right?
There's no, I would be stunned if all four of those entered, if one of them didn't place.
For sure.
Yeah. So it's crazy. Okay.
Keep
coming.
Besides Penn State, which team with all 10 wrestlers qualified will do the best at NCAAs? I don't know. Sorry.
I feel like that's the same question as the number two question.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't have a second question pulled up.
Cornell.
Cornell got 10.
How many schools got 10 qualified?
Seven. Got all 10. Here, I can pull it up.
NC
Michigan.
Michigan, Iowa, or not Iowa.
I don't think Michigan Missouri. Got 10. I don't think they qualified their 97.
Yes, I think you're right.
Oklahoma State.
Flo should have a contest to pick the perfect bracket for 125. And what is the win? I think the winner gets like some stock options or something.
No one will ever get any bracket 100% right.
But they do that in basketball.
No one
does it.
It's literally never happened. No one's ever had a perfect bracket.
Oh, really?
And that's just never?
That's just front side.
That's yeah.
Wait, it's really never happened?
I'm pretty sure never. There's like
like ESPN's pool. I don't know if it ever has happened.
Now I gotta Google this to fact check you guys.
Yeah, do it. Warren Buffett has like a thing where he'll pay like millions of dollars to someone if they win.
All right, has anyone ever got a perfect NCAA
man
bracket?
Speaking of Omaha, Warren Buffett, I watched this documentary. Have you seen this, JD? This happened in your streets. or your
you gotta elaborate a little bit.
Live stream. It's called like Lover, Stalker, Killer, or something like that. It is crazy.
No, I've never seen.
You should watch this. It's off. It's really good. I don't.
Anything
know
else to say?
Well, yeah. The reason I bring it up, I'm pretty sure they used B-roll from that bar we went to after their wedding. It looked just like it.
The Schweckers?
They showed the mechanical bull. Oh, it looked like the exact aesthetic.
But Schweckers has been around for a while, so.
You should check it out just for that. I mean, it's like kind of a brief sort of scene, but it's just like where we went after your nuptials.
So I you guys are correct here. There's 60 to 100 million brackets filled out on an annual basis. No one's ever got one right. There was a guy in 2019 who got 49 picks in a row all the way into the Sweet 16, which seems probably would be the hardest part. And the odds of getting all games correct, according to them, are 1 in 9.2 quintillion.
Yeah.
Whoa. I didn't realize it was that crazy.
And one NCAA bracket front and back, I bet it's almost as unlikely.
Well, I think it would be the same amount of bouts. I would because the field is double in basketball, but they're only on the front side. The amount of bouts in the basketball is 63. I think wrestling would be very close to the same amount of bouts in the bracket.
Just getting. Forget the order. Just getting all eight All-Americans is so difficult. It's so hard to do. I think I've done it one time in my life, and it was.
No, you have not.
Yeah, I have, and it was. I was gonna say, it was a 133 bracket where
you got them in order too.
Yeah, I think I might have. But what I'm
I don't know if they believe this.
It was 20.
Let's keep interrupting him.
13. What I'm trying to say, a lot. It was very obvious. The pecking order was such that, like, it basically fell into exact line how you thought. It was almost like the seeds.
Seeds 1 through 8.
Let me look it up because I know it was the year.
How do you still have this on hand if it was 22?
Yeah, what?
Because because it sticks out because it was like, wow, I got.
You remember the year?
I remember I was in a. It was maybe 12.
It wasn't in order. I don't care.
No, I think it was.
All right, next question.
If it went 1 through 8, then the seating committee got it right also.
Yeah.
Someone wants to know, just real quick, what was the best match of the weekend in your opinion? I think we know definitely our top three, but what would you guys say was the best one?
Dang. Teske.
I know for me.
Kouzakis was crazy.
Me, Mitchell, it was probably Chittum Downey.
Mitchell Hamidi.
I didn't get that. Well, I mean, it was a lot of like...
Well, to me, because it's Iowa, so I have the personal... interest and bias.
Like 6 points. I mean, it was a quintillion overtime match. It was like not a lot of scoring.
But the tiebreakers are so intense. So much. That's what makes it.
Same position. I don't know.
Controversy.
Oh, so you love tiebreakers when it's Iowa guys, but Will Luan goes into tiebreakers.
Hey, I put respect on Will's name.
You did put respect on Will's name. Thank you.
Hey, Christian, Jason Bryant, our resident quant division, said the seeds have 1 through 8 seeds have never finished 1 through 8.
No, I don't think so either. Yeah.
Isn't that what you just said like 5 minutes ago?
Well, it was close. It was a pretty obvious one. I don't remember which year it was.
Someone on Twitter asked if JD could wear the exact same outfit today as Monday.
Sorry, I had to rep the Lopers today. If you need to get your wrestling fixed, D2 Nationals.
Apparently, a lot of people.
Lopers are going to whip some tail in Wichita.
I heard you were getting a ton of hate for your fit on
Monday. Dude, the whole YouTube chat, like the entire show, only wanted to talk about your outfit.
What can I say?
Jay
provocative. I get the people going.
There you go. Oh, someone said, can someone please ask Shane Sparks to stop adding an S to every state school, Penn State's, Ohio State's, etc. Chael removed an S from Christian's name and Shane added one to state.
Oh, I don't know what that means. Well, I mean, there are times where you say Penn State's Braden Davis, so I don't know what it means. There are times you should... It's not Penn State Braden Davis, so I don't even know. That person's not even right.
Hey, one of the guys, Burger King of Kings, is talking about Younger Bastida, and he said he wanted to make the American wrestling team. Man, we got all these guys, transferred wrestler, other countries, Puerto Rico and Mexico, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Younger is literally Cuban and came from Cuba. Cuba should just let him wrestle for the team because they got no one as good as him.
Mm.
What do you think?
Wrestle for what team? Our team?
Cuba.
Cuba.
Yeah, they're not going to be super receptive to I don't know how much of a history buff you are, Ben, but they're not as cool with Younger being here as you might suspect. They're not super into the American dream.
Their socialist community is so good that people have to try to escape it.
Yeah.
That's how great it is.
It's so, yeah. Wait, what?
Well,
socialism's great, Christian Powell.
It's good. Right? Oh, no, it's good.
I'm looking at this question. I can't remember. Did we talk about the Arrington Henson position last show?
A little bit.
Yeah,
yes,
we did.
Okay,
we did.
Sorry. Never mind.
It's okay.
I do think, so I think, because Keegan had the same situation with Carr, but not quite as, I would not have considered that takedown what Keegan did. But there was a thing for like a while. I feel like if you ever stepped over that back leg, even if they had their hands locked, it was a takedown, which I didn't ever really agree with. But I feel like for a lot of people, that's a situation that maybe they need some more clarity on, where they're not really sure what's going to happen with the referee. And they feel like as soon as if it's a head outside shot, as soon as the defensive wrestler steps over the leg, that it should in fact be two.
Yeah.
Well, the thing for me that I didn't even realize last show, I went back and watched, and I didn't realize that Henson was in the exact same position before Arrington was.
Yeah, it's a weird position. I don't know. So Brock Height posted like a high school rulebook picture, which is literally the exact scenario, but I don't know if that picture is in the NCAA casebook. I don't think it is, actually, because if it was, he would have produced it. So I don't know how I feel about it. Sometimes I see it, I'm like, that should be. And then sometimes you see it, you're like, it doesn't. And I don't know what the difference is. Maybe Ben could speak to like to the nuance there, but I don't know why sometimes it feels right and sometimes it doesn't.
Well, so the deal is if you're more out to the side, which I believe was the case in both the Keegan situation and the one we're talking about, that was the takedown, is that it's relatively easy. I don't say relatively easy because not everyone has a skill set. But if you turn, you can turn in and pop your head up still. And actually, if the person's leg is hooked, sometimes it drops them back to their butt and they kind of give up the takedown out of it, right? Because they forced themselves over the leg earlier than they should have. So I feel like it's one of those, if the bodies are facing a more parallel direction, they're both facing forward, then that is kind of when it's, I don't know, like a settled position where the defensive person has the takedown and the offensive person loses. But if the person sprawling steps over like too early and they're still like in a perpendicular position to the other body, they're actually at a significant amount of risk if the bottom person knows what they're doing. And I don't think that should be a takedown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that, isn't that kind of what happened with Keegan and Carr?
Yeah.
Carr stepped over and then Keegan kind of rolled over.
So Carr was able to pop his head up, yes.
This one is a late entry. I don't know why I read that first part. How many Hodge votes are available? How many get cast? With Penn State having 9, could they hypothetically get together and make anyone they want the winner?
Doesn't
the previous Hodge voter only count for so many?
It's not just
all previous Hodge winners.
Well, yeah, and you have 2 votes. So yeah. Kale has 3 votes. David has 2.
They're getting up there in number to the point where maybe the committee should start considering that.
Yeah, well, I think you should just let the people vote, honestly.
People? Yeah. Fans?
No, the people as in the voters vote. It's like whatever the vote is the vote.
Are you saying that
well, listen, the last time they intervened, they
double Hodge.
They blew it. They did a double Hodge when someone won and someone didn't. Like, so I don't know. I don't want them to change that. I don't want them to change the votes.
So you do want former Hodge winners to vote or not?
Yeah.
So you're saying you should just let them vote. Yeah. What if Penn State like wins the next like 10 Hodges and they have,
let's let that happen first. Let's have a guy win the Hodge that's not deserving before we try to change the system.
Because the only time we got the wrong,
the voters, that's when they decided, oh, we'll just decide. after all the votes were cast.
You're talking about Spencer Gable? Yeah, we're talking
they
about?
Just decided.
I think they just decided. I think Ben crap. Split his vote, and it
that's true
stop
too.
Stop. Ben did blow it. They did not count 2 through 4. They said only first place votes because they Win Magazine wanted a specific outcome. Yes. And I haven't seen the second through fourth place votes. But what I would guess is that the second through fourth place votes would have given them an outcome, which they didn't want. And therefore, that's why they chose to not count them that year. And then because people threw a fit, they had to say, well, we're never counting them again.
Yes. So, yeah, let's get to don't have a hypothetical basket. Let's have it happen. Let's have it. Aaron Brooks is good. If he wins the Hodge, he's probably going to be an incredibly deserving winner.
Sure.
Hey, who's getting the Central Michigan job? People talking about Casey Cunningham, but I can't really imagine him leaving Penn State.
That is insane to me. This guy.
I said I can't imagine it.
No, who's saying Casey Cunningham?
People in the chat.
That would shock me as much as anything. He has seemingly shown very little interest in anything. I'm not making this about CMU, but much better jobs on paper. So I know it's his alma mater, but he is
a little something about your alma mater that's special.
Yeah.
Have we shouted out Coach Borelli and thanked him for many decades of coaching?
I'll let you be the first.
Shout out Coach Borelli. Thank you for many decades of coaching.
Yes.
You actively competed against him.
See, here's the thing. Everyone's like, when are you going to say something about Borelli? Well, he's not done yet. You know, the time will come. We're going to talk to him at NCAAs. He's going to be coaching there. It's just been announced. So it is.
So who do you think's getting the job, Christian?
I feel like John Reeder makes a lot of sense. The Gladiator.
Ooh. I've heard that rumor also.
Michigan man, as in he's from Michigan. The other kind, there's two kinds of Michigan
man. Don't you dare say he's a Michigan man, Tyler says.
I would take offense. If I was born and raised in Michigan and I couldn't say I'm a Michigan man.
I'm a Michigan man and Kozak is not. And
that's just the truth. Like if people were as obnoxious about saying like Virginia, like UVA, and you're a Virginia man and I couldn't be a Virginia man.
You're not.
I would be so upset.
John Reed is a smart man. He had no interest in being Michigan man. He left for a much better state.
Oh my gosh. Where he won a national freaking title. With a bloody face.
A broken neck. Can Penn State All-American? Yeah, I'm joking. Can Penn State AA All-10? Who was the last time? Who was the last team to do that? Minnesota?
I mean, lowest seed might be Carter Storace. Yes, they can. Everyone can.
Who was the last team to do that? Was
Minnesota 2001?
Minnesota's the only team to do it.
They're the only team that's done it.
There's only been one team to ever do it.
Yes, I believe.
Zero champs.
No champs. No finalists.
They won nationals with that, though, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. The champions.
That would how big of a deal would that be? Like,
I think it's a big deal. I think it's a huge deal. It's really hard to go 10-for-10.
Even with all their great teams, they haven't done it.
They haven't done it.
What's more impressive, 5 champs or 10 AAs?
5 champs.
Yeah.
But five champs has been. But hold on. Hold on.
Something statistically speaking, something being has five rarer. Champs been done
statistically
before?
Statistically speaking, rarer. 5 champs has been done way more times than 10 All-Americans has.
Yeah, so something rarer does not make it less or more impressive.
Why not?
Not in my opinion.
Why not? Wouldn't that be like by definition, the more rare something is to happen, the
because
more difficult it is?
10 eighths is not as impressive as 5 firsts.
This is your opinion when the facts actually say something different.
No. The rarity.
How many times has 5 champions happened?
The rarity is inconsequential.
I don't want to say a lot. But you're wrong.
No.
How many times has 5 champs happened?
You are wrong.
We should get that data before.
No.
I feel like it's to me, it's like the, I think it's just, I don't think that Kyle Dake's 4 titles at 4 weights is more impressive than Kale Sanderson's 4 at 2 weights or okay. Well, it's never been done, Ben. It's never been done.
Hold on.
How much
that's
humans grow?
That's stupid. That's different because how many people actually grow that much? That's kind of irrelevant, right? I mean, the 4 titles versus 3 titles versus 2 titles. Like, yes, obviously 4 has been done less than three, has been on less than two, has been done less than one, obviously, right? Which makes four more impressive. And all teams have the goal of having as successful as possible. And five champions has been done. I want to say a significant amount. I bet someone will give us a correct answer. And no one, one team has ever done one.
Okay. And there's way more four-time All-Americans than individual national champions, but winning a national title is more impressive, period.
Yes. So that, I mean, I don't
know. Can't dispute that, Ben. You can't
dispute. I mean, it's something that people would choose. What do you mean? It's absolutely disputable.
Well, I think it's
disputable. I mean, would I prefer now? You said, Ben, four-time AA or national title. Which one would you prefer? Yeah, I would probably take the national title. But when you say it's indisputable, I think you're wrong on that because, you know, a four-time All-American means you're good enough to be in the top eight every single year. Now, again, I would choose the national title. But, you know, and so therefore it's hard because you have to be healthy all 4 years. You have to be in the top eight all 4 years. And so one injury or one illness or one bad tournament is going to take you out of that. Whereas you only have to be healthy 1 year to win a national title.
Ben, is your wife's name Amy?
Yeah, why, what's up?
She's in the Facebook chat. She said Ben loves disputing.
Yeah, he's a big disputer.
I'm kind of with Ben on this one.
I need to know
how many times Five Champs has been done.
Probably like five or six.
I can at least think of three.
Oklahoma State did it. Penn State's done it.
Give me 10 AAs.
Yeah, let's go. We got some common sense on FRL.
That's data, baby.
I think that, okay, data. I said it is disputable. I think that most people, like 99.99% of people, would rather have a national title than four AAs. But I think that the argument of 10 All-Americans versus five champions, that is for sure disputable to me. Like, what's more reflect, like what reflects more on the coaching staff or whatever it is? Like,
it can be disputed. Yeah. My mind will never be changed. Just like the four-time All-American versus national champion thing. Things can be rarer, and that doesn't make them better, superior.
Fair.
Well, I don't think, was the question better or more difficult?
I don't know.
Because I think there's also a difference there.
It's harder to win NCAAs than to place.
Yes.
Okay.
By definition, we have statistical evidence of this.
Yeah.
I don't know. There are eight placers versus one placer.
Yeah. There's one spot.
Mm. Yeah, but if eight. It's if we've had 70 national tournaments and we know that, and I actually is that are you factually correct on that there's less four-time All-Americans than one-time champions? I don't know that you're factually correct, but if you are factually correct on that one, then
I already know I am.
We have 70 years of evidence to prove you're wrong.
No,
you're just not a good math person. This is the problem here.
Ben,
you just
majored
don't
in geometry.
You are a geometry major, so maybe I should be quiet.
Christian, I know you failed algebra class.
That's actually true.
Is that actually true?
Oh, bro,
I knew it.
Oh, listen,
you failed algebra.
Y'all don't know about this? Well, hold on. Listen, you want a little transparency?
Yeah.
Listen, first of all, my pathetic history in academics is known. I'm very open. That I was a very bad student.
It's known.
I talk about it all the time. Horrible student. Worse, even worse at math. At one point in time, my junior year, I had a 0.9 GPA. This is. I'm just telling you that happened.
0.9.
That's kind of hard to do.
Teacher at one point.
Yes, I was.
Oh my.
Okay. God. It all worked out in the end. Listen. I had to pay a price for my poor studiousness. I was a bad student, I embarrassed. My father was so disappointed in me because of my brothers, I was the worst one. And then my nerd youngest brother was like second in the class and a 4.3 GPA. But I did fail Algebra 2 trigonometry. It happened.
Algebra 2.
Algebra 2.
Algebra 2 trig is harder than Algebra 1.
Yeah, I failed it. I did not pass it until college. I had to take like a remedial math class in community college in order to start taking real math classes.
And you went on to be a teacher.
And I went, well, yes, I was a teacher for 3 years before I worked here.
Can we be sure your children are homeschooled? Can we be sure that they're getting quality education?
Well, I'm not involved, so that helps.
Thank God.
Katie Piles, salutatorian of Greencastle High School, very smart
salutatorian?
Person. It's like second
place
in her class. She's really smart. My children are sharpest tacks.
Okay, it's 10:01.
It's 10:01. 1.01.
I think GPA. Caleb Piles at NCAAs. I'm gonna put Caleb Piles versus Christian Piles in a math contest. I'm gonna see.
I think Caleb would crush Christian. Caleb is actually a very smart kid.
Yeah. Why do you say actually?
Because I mean, look at what he's dealing with.
You don't have to say actually. All right, let's get out of here. Let's get out of here, brainiacs, algebra lovers. I'm gonna do some math too. And hey, this is the best day of the year. This is such a fun. It's not really the best day of the year, but it kind of is for a wrestling fan. It's the most nerdy, fun, debated day of the year when we talk about brackets. And they're coming out today, tonight, 7 Central. Me, Tyler Kozak are going to be back in here. It's a bad day to be a Christian Piles hater if you watch our shows, because I'm going to be on like 5 hours. But it's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait for it. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. See you tonight, 7 Central, 8 Eastern. Goodbye.
Go Lopers. Thank you.